I invite you now to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are found in your bulletin or on the screen. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired at about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But the landowner replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious Holy God, on this Palm Sunday, and as we continue to explore the parable, and particularly this one about a landowner and a vineyard and those who are called to work the land, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to hear a word of truth and the practicality of how your teachings in those days can relate to us right now. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's establish a little bit for this parable. So one of the ways landowner can be translated more accurately could be household manager, right? Someone who owns a house. And it kind of shifts our perspective, right? Because land would indicate just, you know, the vineyard, but household would be all of the estate that would need to be managed, right? You would have those who would be working inside, those who would be working outside. So I just want you to hold that in the back of your minds. The other piece that we hear from the scripture is this idea of the usual daily wage. In that time, there was an established acceptable pay rate that had to be paid to people who were hired to do your work. In today's layman terms, that would be, you know, minimum wage. Or a living wage, right? You could not pay less because it was socially agreed upon that this was the rate. Now, you could always pay more, but it was a standard to which the household manager would be held to. Okay? So does that kind of shift a little bit how we hear about this and at least put it into modern day context? So if we think about this story that Jesus is sharing, he's talking about a household manager and needing people to work the vineyard. Now, if we were going to work the vineyard, depending on what time of year it was, it could be weeding out the weeds so that the vines don't get choked. It could be pruning back the vines so that the new growth can come in strong and healthy. It could be actually harvesting the grapes, right? What is it that, you know, going out? So there's a different ways that we could imagine what these people were hired to do. And if they're out in the vineyard, there's this beautiful video that I saw that was a time-lapse capture of a vineyard's growth or life in an entire year. and just how it transforms from what seems to be dead vines, right? Because there's no leaves, no greenery, and then you get these new buds, and then eventually you get the fruit, but then the fruit is harvested, and then the leaves wilt away, and then it goes back into that dormant state, right? And when I saw this video, the hands of individuals in it was very minimal because all of this work was happening anyway. Have you all ever thought about that? Like, we don't make the grapevines grow. We don't make the buds come out with the fresh green leaves. We don't know how the grapes are going to grow into the fruition. So there is something about God working in the midst of that that we can't always understand. And yet there are parts where we are invited into doing some of the work of tending what is already in place. And so in this case, the homeowner is going out and trying to find individuals to tend the vineyard. I find it similar to maybe, have any of y'all gone to like Home Depot in the morning and you've seen some folks waiting outside who might be hired for the day? I mean, I know when I was helping my sister renovate her house last summer in D.C., it was very common to see that. And so they were just looking for a day's wage, right? And so you would hire them and say, I need two people to come help me for the day. And that is kind of how I imagine that this would be, to go to that place where people who are available to work would be there looking for work for the day and needing that wage in order to support their families and to live, because they didn't have like a regular type of employment. But obviously, having called a certain group of laborers to come at 9 a.m., there was still more work to do. And so the homeowner, household manager, goes back out and then hires more people, which makes me think, okay, we're probably, you know, in a place where the work anticipated was way more than maybe what was expected, right? And there are more hands that are needed to do that work. And then to go back out and bring more laborers. And even at 5 o'clock, there is still work to be done and hiring more to come in. And then at the end of the day, when the work has been done, and I can imagine that's about going into sunset, right? When the day will be done, it's time to be paid. How many of you love payday? I know I do. I know my daughter does, because then she can do what she wants to do. But, you know, this idea that, you know, we want to be adequately compensated for the effort that we put in. And I know that we are finding ourselves right now where there are people who are working who are not being paid for the work that they are doing, right? So that's also a very common right now reality of where we are. And so to then be paid, and so the homeowner, the household manager pays the ones who were hired last, the usual daily wage, right? And then he pays the people who are hired first. And what do they get? The same. What was their response? Same as you would do, Harrison. I love that. Grumbled, right? Be like, how is this person who did less work than I did getting the same that I did? Right? I should be getting more because I've worked harder. I've worked longer. I can tell you that how many of you are like, in the professional media zones like Glassdoor or LinkedIn or Indeed, right? Where there are these conversations and forums. And I didn't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but I saw a post that said, I just found out that my coworker makes $15,000 more than I do. Oh, that's exactly what was happening here. Because we equate time and effort to a certain amount and expectation of needing more. And so to hold the household manager, you know, kind of like, dude, what are you doing? Right? And then the household manager says, who are you to question the way that I do things? Or how I have paid those I hired to work in my vineyard today? Didn't you agree to this? And you have to say, yeah, I did. I did agree to that. So what is it that shifts our perspective to say, well, now we may have agreed on that, but now I'm expecting something totally different, right? I think that's a very human place to be. And so there's another aspect of this that I want us to hold. How many of you have heard what is fair versus what is right? Right? I can't tell you how many times I've heard my youngest say, well, that's really not fair, why that happened. You know, and then as a parent or as an adult in that young person's life, we're having to explain not everything will be fair because it is your perspective or something against it that you're reacting to that you think that you've been harmed in some way, right? And so there are systems, there are dynamics where things from our perspective do not seem fair and equitable. And that pushes us to say, what is right? The household manager had done what was right. That regardless of when the person was hired, they received the usual daily wage for the work that they did. Whether they worked an hour, 4 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours, he did what was right according to the social standards. So what does that mean for us, particularly now? Well, there are a lot of times and spaces where this parable is interpreted as seeing the landowner as a place for God, and looking at this parable in a spiritual context. And if we take it from that perspective, then what we can hear is those who were part of the work at the very beginning received the same things as those who are brought into the work later. And if we think about it as it relates to the story of God's people, who would have been the first persons? Would have been the Hebrews, right? God's chosen people in the Jewish community having been established, and then how, you know, Gentiles are later grafted into this, that Jesus is reimagining and reinterpreting what this life can look like, and that the gift offered to those at the very beginning is the same gift that is offered to those who come into the family later. And if we look at it from a spiritual perspective, then that means the gift of eternal life and being incorporated into the salvation and the redemptive work of God in the world, we become part of that. We become co-laborers with what God is doing in the world from a very spiritual perspective. Would you agree that that's how y'all have heard that parable in the past? So then we need to take it from a very practical perspective. Standpoint. Jesus didn't use illustrations or dynamics that would be unfamiliar to the hearers, right? That Jesus would be talking about sheep and mountains and wilderness and vineyards. And in this case, you know, when I think vineyard, I immediately go to grapes and grapevines and the production of wine, which then makes me think about the miracle of Jesus transforming water into wine. But it could also have been olive groves or something else that was so vital to the life in that region. But it gives me this richness and, you know, connection to how Jesus was trying to relate to people in their everyday context. So what is our everyday context? And it's going to be, you know, as we consider when, you know, there are some who are employed, we'll just start that as a baseline. Then you have some who are, I would consider, overemployed, meaning that they may have to have multiple jobs in order to make living wage. Then you may have individuals who are underemployed, either because they can't get hired at their skill and talent set, or they choose that because it works for the dynamics of their family. Or you may have those who are unemployed, either by choice or by circumstance, life still needs to be lived regardless of where you fall in that spectrum. And so there are those who will have, and there are those that may not have enough, and then there are those that may have way more, and those who may not have anything. And so if we have the mind of this homeowner, of thinking about who these persons are, we have the shift of thinking, not what is fair, but what is right. What is that action that we need to take in order to make untenable living circumstances right for everyone? I can tell you that a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is not sufficient to live on. I would even argue that $15 an hour is not enough to live on. Depending on where you live, what housing costs are. Don't even get me started about the increased grocery costs or the fact that we're all feeling it when we go to put gas in our cars every week. And I saw this comparison, and maybe some of you had seen it too, that for us, a 30 cents increase in gas price impacts us in a way that it does not impact those who have way more. That to make it a comparable feel of that change, they would need to pay $3,000 more a gallon to have that same impact. Do you hear the difference of that? That the order of magnitude for those who have a lot, to have 30 cents a gallon doesn't impact them the same way it does if you are making $7.25 an hour. So then my question is that fair? And how do we make it right? Which pushes us to the place of extravagant generosity. Because we know that God is generous. That God is a God of abundance, and that there is nothing that we can do to earn what God gives to us. It is all gift. So that gift then pushes us to be similar to how God is engaging in the world. Makes me think of that parable, and there are these interconnections that the widow's mite, she gave everything she had. Versus those who had so much, and Jesus instructed them, sell everything that you have, and then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it was too high a cost for that person. So the challenge today for us, friends, is to say, are we laboring in vain? The work that we do, is it causing harm to others or is it beneficial? And the work that we do, are we using it as a way to live as God engages with us in the world, to be of generous heart and of generous spirit? Knowing that the gift that was offered through Jesus as a salvation for everyone is the same gift that we receive. And we are not okay unless we are all okay. So your homework this week is to think about those places where you see some of that. If you're in hiring positions, how can we make sure that the people we employ are paid enough to live on? I'm even thinking about healthcare costs that are just so crazy, right? And then people are like, but we have to save for retirement. And will that even be enough to live on when we get to that point? And be like, I don't know. But if we care for each other, and we care as God cares, then we can take those small steps to make things right for all of God's people. Friends, we do not labor in this work alone. We do it through the strength of God so that the kingdom of heaven can be felt and realized. right here, right now, forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.